If you had a chance to sit down with someone who was around at Jesus' birth, around that time, if you could have sit down with one of those folks, who would you decide to sit down and talk with? Would it be Mary, the mother of baby Jesus? Or maybe it would be Herod, who was so fearful that Jesus was going to take his kingship. Maybe you would like to talk to the innkeeper and ask him, why didn't you have room in your inn? Why didn't you make room for Joseph and Mary in your inn? Oh, well, there's also the wise men and the shepherds and the angels. And who would you want to sit down and talk with? They would all have great stories. And for the next few weeks, we're going to look at them. Some of them, not all of them, but some of them. But today, I would like to look at Joseph, Mary's husband. I would say that Joseph, for the most part, gets pushed off into the background of Christmas. We don't hear too much about Joseph. I mean, why do I say that? Well, you know, when I was doing my homework for this message, when I was studying, I went, I don't think there's a song that we sing that has Joseph's name in it. And when I was sharing that with Mel, she said, right away, Mary's boy child. And I went, oh, okay. And I'm not sure, there might be other songs, but there's not very many. There's more songs about shepherds and angels and Mary and Jesus. And then when you look at the Bible, well, the name Joseph's in the Bible over 250 times. But Joseph, the husband of Mary, he's not mentioned very much. If his name's mentioned 15 times, that would be a lot in the entire Bible. When people think about Christmas, they usually think about Mary and Jesus and the shepherds and the angels and the wise men. We don't really think about Joseph. So today, I want us to take a look at Joseph. What do we know about him? Well, he comes from the family line of David, King David, and his father's name was Jacob. We're not sure how old Joseph is. We are never told. But most commentators speculate he was probably around 17 years of age. But we're not 100% sure. We also know that Joseph was a carpenter who lived in Nazareth in Galilee, even though his home was in Bethlehem. His hometown was Bethlehem. And we know that because he had to go there to register for the census. Joseph's not a very wealthy person. And we know that because when Jesus was born, Joseph and Mary on the eighth day took him to the temple to dedicate him, and they brought two doves for the sacrifice instead of a lamb. And so you see, there's not a whole lot to go on. But as we look at the account of the birth of Jesus, we get a little better picture of Joseph. Let's take a look what the Bible talks about in Jesus' birth. So Luke tells us that Joseph and Mary are pledged to be married, and Mary's a virgin. The word pledged to be married or betrothed, as some of the other translations have, refers to an ancient Jewish marriage custom. In those days, most marriages were arranged by the parents. and they would meet together, and they would draw up a legal agreement, and they would both approve of the arrangement without the children's consent. Joseph's marrying Mary. The parents have got together, they've made up an agreement, and it's signed. It's a contract, a formal marriage contract. When the contract was signed, the man and woman were legally pledged or betrothed to each other. This pledge would last up to a year. And at the end of the time, the couple would be legally married, formally married, a public wedding ceremony. In essence, to be pledged or betrothed was being like being married, except they couldn't live together. They still lived in their parents' homes until the actual wedding ceremony happened. Yet we read in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, there's a real big problem. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with a child through the Holy Spirit. At this time, Mary is about 4 months pregnant. Joseph has not seen her for the past 3 months, as Mary has been at her relative's, Elizabeth, for 3 months. And so she comes back from Elizabeth and meets Joseph, and he finds out that she's pregnant. Joseph, not knowing how this happened, only assumes, or could only assume, that she was unfaithful. Now, Mary might have told him what happened, that she'd been visited by the angel, but I'm sure Joseph was wondering. I'm sure Joseph is troubled and not sure what to do. Joseph thought he had been betrayed, he had been wronged. And at this point, Joseph could see only two options. He could publicly divorce her, and in doing so, she would be publicly humiliated, disgraced, shamed, and maybe even stoned to death. Or he could just break off the betrothal quietly. Matthew reveals that Joseph is a righteous man. He's a man of character and compassion. As we read the next verse, Matthew 1:19 says, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, he did not expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. Wow, what a guy. I mean, think about it. He's been betrothed to Mary for at least 4 months, maybe longer. And now this. Joseph could have, at this point, have just blown up and said, that's it, you know, I'm going to tell the world about what you've done. I mean, he could have taken his iPhone out and taken pictures of Mary and posted them on social media for the world to see and said, look, I'm the innocent guy here. I'm the righteous one. Mary's the one that sinned. And he could have just posted it all over the place. Isn't that what we would expect today? Yeah. That's what we would expect. How many lives have been destroyed by social media? People have posted things and then went, oh, I shouldn't have done that. but it's too late. See, social media is like gossip if you don't use it right. I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying all social media is bad and wrong and we shouldn't use social media. That's not what I'm saying. But you can just look at some of the tweets that go out from people that are made so public, and they're so damaging. Yet, this isn't Joseph. He's a man of character. He's a man of compassion. And we read that Joseph did not want to expose her. He didn't want to tell his neighbors. He didn't want to make it all public. He knew Mary was going to go through a rough time as it was. Joseph was a righteous man, not a religious man. What do I mean by that? Well, he knew the law. He knew the law said that if a partner was unfaithful, that they were to be taken out and stoned to death. That was the law. But he also allowed God's compassion to rule his heart. See, the Pharisees were righteous and they would want to drag Mary out and stone her. But Joseph was filled with compassion, God's compassion. It ruled his heart. He would divorce Mary, but not publicly. Joseph thought of Mary's future. He thought that her future was more important than him being right and getting revenge, getting that pound of flesh. We need to realize that Joseph's not divorcing Mary publicly, he's not saying that he condones what Mary did or what he thought Mary did. He's not agreeing with it, but he still has compassion. So what about us? When we are betrayed or wrong, are we religious people who are quick to quote and carry out the full extent of the law on those who've wronged us? Are we there right now going, this is what the law says and this is what needs to happen? Or do we allow our hearts to be ruled by compassion? Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13 exhorts, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. We are to clothe ourselves with compassion. We are to bear with one another. The idea here is to put on clothes. When we put on clothes, we wear them all the time. We don't go out without our clothes. And so the idea here is that we shouldn't be going out without compassion. That compassion should be there all the time. The other idea is that clothes are very close to our body. You can't get much between the clothes and the body. Compassion should be wrapped around our heart, so close in our heart that you can't get between it. And then there's bearing with each other. It has the idea of walking alongside and holding someone up when they're struggling or maybe they've even sinned. And it has that idea of just coming alongside them and not just writing them off. I mean, this is a pretty amazing picture, this Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. And we could stay here for a whole day, but just think about it. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other. And forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. How do we compare when we look at that scripture? You know, when I look at Joseph, and this scripture wasn't around when Joseph was alive, but Joseph is a living illustration of this scripture. I mean, wouldn't you say that he was compassionate, kind, humble, gentle, and patient with Mary? Wouldn't you say that he bared with her, like he was there to help her along on her journey as much as he could? He forgave her. I mean, at this time, he doesn't even know how Mary got pregnant. I mean, he might have told her. But those are her words, and how far-fetched are those words? I mean, if your child came home and told you that they were pregnant, and it's because of the Holy Spirit, how many of us would say, "Oh yeah, I believe you"? Joseph, a living illustration, a man of character and compassion. Another incredible part of Joseph's character is that he's not one that just flies off the handle and makes quick, impulsive decisions. I mean, let's go back to Matthew chapter 1, verse 19. Joseph states, he had it in his mind to divorce her quietly. I mean, this gives us the idea that Joseph did not make rash decisions. He didn't react to the situation, but he responded. He thought it through. The words "had it in his mind" sound like Joseph's thinking and pondering about what has happened and what he should do. In fact, if we read on in the first part of Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, the first part of that verse, we read, "But after he had considered this," after he had considered divorcing her quietly. Joseph has not come to the decision. He is just considering to divorce Mary quietly. We are left with the thought that Joseph is a man who wants to respond to the situation and not react wrongly. He wants to respond in a right manner, in a godly manner, not just fly off the handle and say, "You sinned, you've done it, you're out, I'm gone." I wish I could say I was always like that, that I responded in a right manner. I mean, I think I've told you about how I reacted when my son came out of the hair salon in Kamloops. And I was sitting down the mall and he had lime green hair. And Kathy went up to meet him and the hairdresser. And the hairdresser said to Kathy, "Scott's not coming up here, is he?" "No, because I was reacting. I wasn't responding at all. I was reacting." I mean, lime green hair, who does that? My son, yes. And my thought was, I don't want to be near him. I don't want him to walk with him. I don't want people to know that this is my child in a public place. In fact, my thought was, how could he do this to me? He wronged me. I mean, I figured he had betrayed me. I did not see it coming. Yet James chapter 1 and verse 19 to 20 declares, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For a man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. We read earlier that Joseph was a righteous man. Why is Joseph a righteous man? Slow to speak. Slow to get angry. He responded. He didn't react. The day my son came out of that hairdressing salon in the mall, I didn't reveal the righteous life that God desired in me. In fact, I stooped lower and let the enemy get in me, and I quickly reacted without hearing anything. You see, if I had just been a little more patient and a little more compassionate, and if I had responded, I would have found out that it was just a gel that was in his hair and that it washed out, and that John the hairdresser would have never dyed his hair lime green without first talking to us. I was quick to become angry. Do we respond or do we react when we think we've been wronged or betrayed? That's a question we have to answer. Do we reveal the righteous life God desires in us? Just think how the Christmas story might have been different if Joseph had reacted and said, "That's it. I'm out of here." But Joseph didn't react. And God revealed the whole picture to Joseph as he was considering what to do. Listen to Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from sin.'" If Joseph had reacted, he might have never known what was really happening. When Joseph hears what's really happened, when Joseph hears that Mary's telling him the truth, when Joseph hears that this is from God and not from man, he realizes that Mary has not been unfaithful. And he is now presented with a third option. God tells him, "Go marry Mary." This would take a lot of character. A character that's strong. Because Joseph's going to marry Mary, but Mary is already 4 months pregnant. I mean, even if they do the ceremony right now, and somebody might figure out the timeline and go, "This doesn't add up." And Joseph could be shunned. But he was a righteous man, and his character was strong. Joseph, being a righteous man, did not take much time to make his decision. We read in verses 24 and 25, "When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Joseph." Or doesn't react, he responds. He takes time making the decision. He finally hears from God. He's a righteous man. And he hears from God. He knows the story. And he still has the option of divorcing her quietly or publicly. But he chooses the third option. He goes, he hears from God, and he decides that he will obey God. And he doesn't take his time about it. Why? Because he has compassion on Mary. And he takes her home to be his wife. And he's even obedient enough to God that when the child is born, he gives the child the name Jesus. He doesn't say, well, I've been through quite a bit here. Maybe we should just call the child Joseph. And then if the neighbors complain, they will know. But no, we're going to give the child the name Jesus because he's going to save his people. Joseph obeys what the Lord has told him to do. Joseph may be in the background of Christmas. He may be pushed back there compared to the other characters. Oh, but does he have a lot to say to us? Does he have a lot to teach us? He's a man of character and compassion who responds to the situation, which looks like he had been wronged and betrayed him. He did not rashly make a decision, but took his time to see all the facts. And as a righteous man, he heard from God before he made any decision and then followed God's leading. That's how we see our Joseph. How will others see us when we are wronged or betrayed? Will they see us as compassionate, loving, willing to give, be humble, be kind, to forgive? Not to say that we condone what happened. Will they see us as people who respond rather than reacting? People who take time to think and hear and look at the big picture, to gather the facts, to let your son come down and say, Dad, this is what it's all about. Will they see us as people hearing from God and then following that? People who read God's word and hear what he says and then put it into practice. The truth is, as we follow Joseph's example, we will display the righteous life God desires for us to those around us. Isn't that what Christmas is all about? Displaying God's love, compassion, kindness to those around us?